Let us turn to the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Let us read a few Bible verses. Let us read from verse 5.
我们所说将来的世界, 上帝也没有交给天使管理, 但有人在经上某处证明说, 人算什么, 你已经顾念他, 世人算什么, 你已经眷顾他, 你叫他比天使微小一点, 赐他荣耀尊贵, 为冠冕, 并将你手所造的, 都派他管理, 叫万物都附在他的脚下, 既叫万物都附他, 就没有剩下一样不附他的。 我们大家一同读这几节的圣经, 第5到第8, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. 我们所说将来的事情, 上帝原没有交给天使管辖, 但有人在经上某处证明说, 人算什么, 你竟顾念他, 世人算什么, 你竟眷顾他, 你叫他比天使微小一点, 赐他荣耀尊贵, 为冠冕, 并将你所造的, 都派他管理, 叫万物都附在他的脚下, 既叫万物都附他, 就没有剩下一样不附他的。 我们读经就到这个地方,
we're going to stop here.
我们现在再次低头祷告,
let's pray.
主啊求你赐福我们领受真理的人, 你打开我们的心, 正如我们愿意打开你的话语一样, 求主你用你的光照耀我们, 使我们从黑暗中间出来, 在你的光, 在你荣耀中间, 看见主你丰盛真理的奥秘, 主啊你听我们的祷告, 我们感谢赞美你, 奉主耶稣基督得胜的尊名祈求你, 阿们。 我们前几次已经思想了第2章要郑重所听的道理,
the past few times we meditated on the fact that we ought to pay careful attention to what we've heard.
这个道理是主亲自讲的,
this word has been preached to us by the Lord himself.
后来听见的人给我们证实的,
and those people who heard it testified to it.
然后我们主就用神迹奇事异能, 以及圣灵的恩赐来证明这些大事情,
and God testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit.
上个礼拜我们特别提醒了基督教是一个神迹的宗教,
last week we mentioned that Christianity is a faith of miracles.
没有任何一个宗教像基督教一样相信神是行奇事的上帝,
no other faith is like Christianity which believes that God is a God of miracles.
那么是不是每时每刻我们要神迹神就表演给我们看呢?
Does that mean that at any time we can demand for miracles?
或者是不是神主动的在每个时代都彰显同样的奇事在人的社会中间?
Or is it that God by his own initiative will give us the same miracle in every generation?
不是的,
no.
神有主权行他的事情,
the Lord has sovereign to do his own will.
一个时代在传福音的时候遇到困难的时候,
in a generation when there is problem in the spreading of the gospel,
特别当福音与文化初步接触的时候,
especially when the gospel first meets with civilization,
神常常就在那个时候显出他的干预, 显出他是大能的主,
many a times God will interfere in human life and to show us that he's a God of power.
所以使一些的人经历神迹奇事以后他们就产生了对上帝的信心,
so that people will have faith after they've gone through signs and wonders.
这是历史历代传福音的人谁可以见证的事情,
these are things that are testified by people who preach the gospel for all generations.
当福音传到一个地方的时候,
when the gospel reaches a certain place,
他们产生了神的道与人思想的冲突,
there are always a conflict between the word of God and the thoughts of men.
神的真理同人文化之间的意念上的冲突,
there is always a conflict between the truth of God and of civilization of men.
这些事情发生的时候,
when these things occur,
有许多人已经习惯于他们传统中间文化所带来的意念,
many people are very used to the traditional thoughts from their culture.
他们也很自然就抗拒上帝的话,
naturally they will be against the word of God.
他们也轻看上帝的道,
and they will despise his word.
他们拒绝上帝借着十字架被钉的死人可以拯救罪人这种教训,
They will reject the message that God will save us through the death of someone on a cross. When you preach about Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead, this historical fact that is so real and true will always be rejected by people who despise it. Because this is against the experiences of men. It is against our reasoning. When people hear that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, they will laugh about it and they will reject
it.
Clearly, we must know that the spreading of the gospel is a difficult task. Because the will of God is completely different from the will of man. The way of God is completely different from the way of man. What is the difference between the will and the way? It refers to our internal life and our external life. The will refers to things that are internal to us, our reasoning and our thought process. The way refers to the way we lead our life, our ethics, our morality. Our internal will and our external action is a summary of our entire human civilization.
Our internal ideology is our basic construction of our living basis. And our external expression is in our ethical and our behavior. So these two compose so-called culture. 一个文化有意识形态里面的一个架构，有外面生活方式的这一个表现。
A culture has an internal ideology and an external expression.
所以当上帝说我的意念非同你们的意念，我的道路非同你们的道路的时候，就表示神的道是高过人的文化的。
When God says that my thoughts are not your thoughts and my way are higher than your way, it means that the word of God is higher than our cultural expressions.
天地地何等的高，我的道路同你们的道路之间的差别也是一样的。
As high as the sky is from the earth, my way is different from yours.
所以人既然习惯你从犯罪生活中间所产生出来的文化思想的架构，怎么能接受福音呢？
We are used to the structure that is the result of our sinful lifestyle, so we cannot accept the gospel.
所以传福音绝对不是一件很容易的事情。
That is why the preaching of the gospel will absolutely be difficult.
特别当你的福音传到有高级文化同宗教的地区的时候，
Especially when the gospel is preached to a sophisticated society and culture.
这就产生了必然的意念上的冲突和争战。
Surely there will be conflict and battle between the thought process.
产生了生活行为习惯与传统的道德价值观的冲突和争战。
There will be a conflict between the external expression of ethics and morality.
所以当福音传出去的时候，
When the gospel is being preached,
提到耶稣的死同复活拯救世界上的人，
When it reaches the story about how Jesus died and is resurrected for
the people, 人的抗拒是很自然的。
Our rejection will become something natural.
我们要传福音的人一定要预备心受人的反抗。
Those who preach the gospel must be prepared to have rejection in their life.
我们传福音的人要预备心受人的讥笑。
Preachers of the gospel must be prepared to be despised and laughed at.
但是这个时候神不放弃我们。
But the Lord will not leave us alone.
神没有忘记我们。
God will not forget us.
所以就在我们传福音的初期， 接触一个新的文化的开始， 许多时候神就用神迹奇事来印证你所传的道是从神而来的。
In the beginning of the preaching of the gospel and when you approach a new civilization, God will often use signs and wonders to affirm the gospel.
40年以前当我在神学院上课的时候，
40 years ago when I was studying in the seminary,
我有一个教授，
I had a professor.
这个教授呢就曾经在婆罗多的内地做过宣教士。
This professor once preached in the inner jungles of Sarawak.
他们一面假假地接受他所传的福音。
The people that pretended to accept the gospel,
晚上有放毒在他的吃的东西，要给他毒死。
In the night, they tried to poison him to his food.
他不知道这个事情。
And he didn't know about this.
因为他以为那些土人是开一个大的宴会， 欢迎宣教士到他们的中间传道。
Because he thought that the tribesman is throwing a party to welcome him.
所以呢，在欢迎他的宴席里面，他就大吃了一餐，然后回家去。
And so he ate and fulfilled himself, and then left for home.
吃了以后
，After that，
回到家里以后呢
，After he went home，
他就休息去睡觉了。
He just went to sleep.
到晚上两三点的时候。
At about 2 to 3 a.m.
他就发现他那个简陋的房子有别的声音进来了。
Suddenly he realized that there were other noises.
所以门就慢慢打开来了。
And the door slowly creaked open.
他醒过来。
And he awoke.
他看见一个影子在他的房间里面在那边爬。
He saw a shadow crawling in his room.
他就注意看。
And he tried to see.
原来一个土人慢慢爬进来了。
Because the tribesman crawled himself in.
这个人就坐起来了。
And so this professor
他说你是谁？
He asked,
你为什么这么夜来找我？
Why are you here?
那个人不能讲话。
The tribesman couldn't speak.
他只说 你还活着吗？
And he said, Are you still alive?
你还活着吗？
Are you still alive?
你活着的是你吗？
Is it you who's standing there?
你在讲什么？
And he asked,
为什么不活着呢？
Why am I not alive?
你昨天吃了还活着吗？
You have already eaten the food. Are you still alive?
他说为什么吃了不活着呢？
He asked why.
那个人吓死了。
The tribesman was terrified.
后来他对他说，我们放了三倍的毒，比普通毒死人三倍的分量。
And he said that we drop in three times the poison enough to kill three persons.
我是要被派来看看你已经死了没。
And I'm sent to see that you are dead.
但是当我刚刚要开门，你就问我是谁，吓了我一跳。
But once I opened the door, you woke up and you asked me.
原来你还活着。
I was so surprised.
你怎么还会活着呢？
How can you still be alive?
哎呀，这一个传道人的心里大大赞美上帝。
And this preacher praised the Lord in his heart.
他才知道他已经经过了这么大的危险。在死荫幽谷中间，神与他同在。
And he knew that he has passed through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, and God is with him.
现在他就你坐下来，我要用上帝的道告诉你。
And he said, "Sit down, I want to preach to you with the word of God."
这个时候，那个土人呢，变成像一只小狗一样，就乖乖的坐在那里。
And the tribesman was very obedient and just sat there.
他们本来要毒死他的。
Originally, they wanted to poison him.
既然看见他不死
，But since he did not die,
他就规规矩矩、顺顺服服的坐在那里。
They were submissive and they just sat there.
那么这一个我的教授就打开马可福音最后一章，告诉他们。
And my professor opened to the last chapter of Mark.
你们去传福音给万民听。
You ought to preach to all people.
他说我要用神迹奇事随着你们。
And signs and wonders will follow you.
你们吃了毒药，你们也不死。
You will eat poison and not die.
你们被蛇咬，你们也不死。
You will be bitten by poisonous snakes and not die.
我与你们同在。
Because I am with you.
所以当他把这些圣经读给他听的时候
，When he explained this Bible verse to these people,
他说我也那个时候才真正明白这些圣经原来是真的。
He himself said that now I know the verse is real.
从前是背这些话。
In the past, I only know it.
读过这些话。
I've studied it.
但是他亲自吃了很大的毒药，却没有死，他才知道神的道是真实的。
Now I've experienced it myself. I've been poisoned and not die. I know that the word is real.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
这不等于说他就每天吃一点毒药来证明神又是真的。
This does not mean that he should consume poison every day.
因为神行神迹是在必要的时候显出他的能力。显出他的恩惠，显出他的同在。
Because the Lord will show us signs and wonders at appropriate time to show us His presence, His power, and His grace.
更不是在你每时每刻要求他行神迹，满足你的好奇心的时候，他一定要服务你，不是这样。
And certainly, it is not a case where God has to show you because you demanded His signs and wonders.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
我的这个教授讲这些故事给我们听的时候
，When this professor related these stories to us，
我的心深深受感动。
I was deeply moved。
我相信神的话是真的。
And I believe the word of God to be true。
基督教是相信神迹的宗教。
Christianity is a faith that believes in miracles。
上帝用他自己形式的记号来印证他的百姓所传的真理是可靠的。
God will leave behind His own mark to affirm that what has been preached by His people is real.
就像我们看见一个民族、一个民族、一个民族，都有人回过头来归向上帝，成为神的儿女。
So we see different people turning around, repenting themselves to become children of God.
然后这些人再把福音再传出去。
And these people will preach the gospel in
turn. 一个百姓、一个民族、一个部落已经接受主以后。
When a people, a tribe, and a nation has accepted the
gospel, 神迹奇事的需要性就慢慢减少了。
The need for signs and wonders will be reduced.
这样呢，神迹奇事也不再多显明在那个时代中间。
and signs and wonders will not be seen so commonly in that generation.
我们也看见上帝不是有求必应，你要什么他一定要听你的话。
And we also see that God is not a God of demands.
特别是我们看到西律王这耶稣说，你如今行神迹给我看吧。
Especially when we read the Gospel, King Herod asked Jesus to perform a miracle.
耶稣基督没有答应他。
Jesus did not agree to it.
巴利赛人律法师对耶稣说，你行神迹给我们看吧。
The Pharisees and the scribes asked for miracles from Jesus.
耶稣怎么回答他们？
What did Jesus say?
你这邪恶淫乱的时代啊！
You evil and adulterous generation.
除了又拿在肚子里面三天，要证明耶稣基督要从死里复活。
Other than the sign of Jonah to show the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there will be no miracles for you. We can segregate miracles to many different types. The most important miracles are that which has been done on the body of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was sinless and yet died for us. After his death, he was resurrected. These are the greatest miracles in history. And the gospel is established on all these historical miracles. Thanks be to God.
上帝借着许多医病、赶鬼，使许多的人在困难的中间得到解救的神迹，来印证门徒们所传的道理。
And the Lord used miraculous healing and exorcism to affirm the gospel preached by the apostles.
圣父做这个事情。
This is done by God the Father. God the Son did the same thing.
圣徒也传这个事情,
the apostles preach about it.
圣灵在印证这个事情,
the Holy Spirit affirmed it.
这样圣父、圣子、圣灵还有圣徒都为福音做了一些伟大的工作。
So God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the apostles all did great work for the gospel. After the author of Hebrew finished with this, he brought us to the central message of the gospel. And that is the gospel is accomplished within Jesus Christ.
怎样的步骤呈现这个福音的经文呢？
And what were the procedures that Jesus did to accomplish the gospel?
所以这里就提到基督与这个世代中间的关系到底是什么？
Here we see the relationship between Jesus Christ and our generation.
基督在这个历史中间到底他的角色是什么？
The relationship between Jesus and history.
我们曾经用大概七八次的时间单单讲希伯来书第一章第一到第三节。
From Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 to 3, we took about 8 sessions on it. Because this is a very important foundation in Christology. In these three verses, we already mentioned the relationship between Christ and God, Christ and the world, and Christ and the church. What are the relationships in between these relationships? God created the world and God wants to save the people of the world. Those who have been saved becomes the church of God. God created the world through the Son. Through the Son, God saved the world. And the world that has been saved becomes the church of God. The Son became the Savior because he has been sent by the Father. He became the head of the church under the plan of God. So Jesus Christ had a relationship with the Father, the world, and the church. What is the relationship between Christ and the world? He was the beginning of the world and will be the end of the world. He is the person the entire world will rely upon. So Jesus said to the created world, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end.
为什么呢?
Why?
这两个孩子不要走来走去。 谁的孩子? 你要回家去再跑, 不要在这里跑。 好，我们继续讲下去。为什么对这世界讲这样的话呢？
Why did Jesus say this to the world?
因为世界因他的创造而存在。
Because the world exists because of his creation.
世界因为他的审判而结束。
And the world will end because of his judgment.
所以世界的开始跟结束是因为基督的全能而存在。
The beginning and the end of the world will be because of the existence of Jesus Christ.
不但创造了万有。
Not only did he create all things.
更是要承受万有。
He will inherit all things.
所以当希伯来书的作者讲创造万有的时候，指过去基督与世界的关系。
The author of Hebrew talk about creation, and that is the relationship between the world and Christ in the past.
当希伯来书作者讲到耶稣基督要承受万有的时候，是指以后的关系。
And when the author talk about inheritance of the world, he's speaking about the future.
那么在这个原始一直到结束的这个过程中间，基督对世界的角色就是他。
In between the beginning and the end, the role that Jesus played was that he sustained the whole world.
这完全是指自然界的事情。
And this is something that happens in nature.
当你提到救恩的事情的时候，
when you refer to matters of salvation,
就不是提到普遍恩惠、普遍启示的问题了。
This is not a matter relating to general revelation and grace.
当提到救恩的时候，
when we talk about salvation,
你是提到特殊的恩典，也就是救赎性的恩典的事情。
We are talking about special grace, the grace of salvation.
所以从第二章开始，
from the second chapter,
耶稣基督怎样完成救恩？
We will see how Jesus accomplishes the salvation.
耶稣基督为了完成救恩，怎样进到这个自然的世界里面来？
Because he wanted to do this, how he entered into our world.
所以这里要我们特别注意的，在历史上耶稣曾经做人的这件事情。
So here the special emphasis is that in history Jesus was once a man.
这是基督教信仰的一个钥匙。
This is the key in religious faith.
透过曾经做人的耶稣。
Through this Jesus who was once a man.
你才真正认识上帝。
We can truly know God.
因为只有一位上帝，在上帝与人中间只有一位中保，就是成了人的耶稣基督。
Because there is only one God and one intermediary between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ.
耶稣基督在什么时候到这个世界上来？
When did Jesus come to the world?
就是在希伯来人观念中间，将来的世代他要来。
In the Hebrew concept, he will come only in the future.
为什么这么说呢？
Why?
因为希伯来人知道末了的日子，上帝差遣弥赛亚来拯救他们。
Because the Hebrews believe that in the end times, God will send the Messiah to save them.
所以他们论到将来的世界是乐观的。
And they have an optimistic future.
他们对未来是产生无限的信仰的。
And they have faith about the future.
这样，犹太人与别的民族不同的地方，
that is the difference between the Jews and all
the faith. 他们有一个非常荣耀的将来。
They have a glorious future.
他们有一个非常荣耀的末后的日子。
And the days to come will be glorious for them.
这样，当他们比别的民族受更多的迫害、更多的痛苦的时候，没有办法磨灭掉他们的信仰。
It doesn't matter that they suffered a lot more than other people, their faith cannot be erased. 这
是希伯来信仰最宝贵的一部分。
This is one of the most important part of the Hebrew faith.
所以你看见许多基督徒遇到困难的时候就冷淡、退后、离开上帝，怀疑上帝的恩典了。
Many Christians will start to doubt the grace of God and depart from Him once we encounter difficulties in our lives.
特别是在丰富神学的教会教导之下的这种基督徒。
Especially when you understand all these through the teaching of health and wealth.
所谓的施恩就是大赐恩典、丰丰富富给我们供养的那位上帝。
The God that you believe in is the God that will give you abundant grace and abundant material possession.
当你在物质的上面不再得着上帝的供应的时候，你马上怀疑他，马上灰心冷淡下来。
And when you do not have the providence from God materialistically, immediately you are disappointed and will cool down.
希伯来人不是如此。
This is not the case for the Hebrews.
希伯来人经过多么患难、多么的痛苦，是把他们逼到上帝面前，更多祷告，仰望那将来的日子快快来到。
All the suffering that the Hebrews went through will force them to come before God to ask for the glorious future.
20世纪最残忍的杀害。
The greatest slaughter in the 20th century.
不是南京大屠杀。
It's not the Nanking massacre.
不是几年前的事情，在印尼发生的。
Or the disaster in Indonesia.
也不是八国联军从这个港口一直到北京，一面烧一面强奸女子那些事，不是的。
Or the disaster that occurred at the end of the Qing dynasty.
更不是我们所看的这个 Tutsi 跟那个非洲另外一个土著彼此相杀的事件。
Or the slaughter in the land of Rwanda.
这些不能比希特拉在不长的时间里面杀死650万犹太人的这个悲惨。
This cannot be compared to the slaughter of 6 million Jews in the Holocaust.
有哪个民族 在这样短的时间里面受过这么多的损害，受了这样惨不人道不能读的，这是最没有人道的这种人性的践踏。
No other people have experienced such suffering within such a short period of time。
犹太人的650万不是中国人的650万，你要知道。
You must understand that the Jewish 6 million people is not the same as the Chinese 6 million。
中国人这么多，650万算多少？
There are so many Chinese, so 6 million is a small number。
犹太人全世界没有几个650万。
But there are not that many people, Jews in the world。
他整个民族受了这么大的惨害逼迫的时候，他们不是怀疑上帝，他们更迫切祷告，盼望末后的日子快快来到。
And when their entire race has been persecuted to such an extent, they do not doubt God. What they did was they prayed fervently.
犹太文化对世界有许多刺激，许多贡献的作用。
And Jewish culture has a lot of stimulation and contribution to the world.
是犹太文化带来了独神信仰的系统。
It is the Jewish culture that brought to us the idea of one God.
是犹太文化带来了神的十条诫命。
It is a Jewish culture that gave us the Ten Commandments of God.
成为全世界万族万国律法的真正的基础。
And this is the true foundation for all people and all generation in legal matters.
是犹太文化带来了人要用信建立人生的意义的这个关系。
It's the Jewish culture that gave us this idea that we ought to establish the meaning of our life through our faith.
是犹太信仰带来了幕后有弥赛亚拯救的这种乐观的盼望。
It is the Jewish faith that gave us an optimistic future in expecting the Messiah to come.
所以如果你把犹太信仰的系统所带给世界历史的贡献好好研究，你会很尊重这个民族。
If you study this Jewish culture carefully about the contribution to the world, you have great respect for it.
我相信得到诺贝尔奖金的所有的人，按民族的人数来说，是犹太人拿最多的。
I believe that the Jewish people will have the most people who have received a Nobel Prize.
希伯来的观念中间，有位救主要来到。
In the Hebrew concept, a Messiah will come.
这个是肯定的。
This is
for certain. 他们的救主观就错在不可救药的地步。
But they make a big mistake in the idea of the Messiah.
因为他们所想的救主，
because the Messiah they believe in
是一个军事性的基督，
is a Messiah that is militaristic.
是一个报仇性的基督，
is a vengeful Christ.
是一个用刀杀害仇敌，替他们血耻，使他们可以被重新肯定的民族的一个基督。
It's a Christ that will kill their enemies to the sword to affirm them and remove their humiliation.
他们的观念是一个政治性的基督。
In their concept, the Christ is political.
是民族英雄式的基督。
It's like a hero of the people.
所以他们就想到这将来的时代。
When they think about the future.
将来的时代。
When they think about the future.
然后他们有一个观念，这个将来的时代，天使要来管万民。
They believe that the angels will come and rule over all people.
那么以色列人呢？
What about the Israelites?
神自己管以色列人。
They will be ruled by God himself.
这样犹太人的观念有一个很特别的地方。
There is something special about this thought process.
他们根据《生命记》里面一节的圣经说。
By Deuteronomy they say.
上帝按照以色列的人数来决定各国的疆界。
And God will fix the boundaries of the nation according to the people of Israel.
所以世界各国的疆界，
so all these boundaries of the
nations, 是按照以色列民族的人数去定的。
Is done based on the number of people in the Israelites.
那么这一节圣经呢，后来翻译成希腊文的时候，
when this Bible verse is translated to Greek,
亚历山大这个港口的72个意思，翻译的圣经叫做70是一本叫 Septuaginta。
And because of that, Alexandra, the port of Alexandria translated this into the Septuaginta.
竟然翻译成上帝要照着天使的数目来定各国的疆界。
The translation becomes God will set the boundaries of the world based on the number of angels.
这是不是圣经上翻译一个很大的错误呢？
This is a big mistake in translation.
上帝要按照以色列的数目来定各国的疆界。
Can God fix the boundaries of the nation based on the number of people in Israel?
变成了上帝用这天使的数目来定各国的疆界。
This translation has changed to become God was fixed the boundaries based on the number of angels.
这个在《生命记》32章，《生命记》32章第八节里面。
This is in Deuteronomy 32 verse 8.
那么这个错误到底可能性从哪里来呢？
Where is the probable source of this problem?
我相信可能性其中有一点是这样讲的。
I think one of the explanation for this mistake is.
因为他们相信呢，上帝的天使长。一共有七个，
because they believe that there are seven archangels,
那么各不同的功用，
and all of them have different functions.
其中以色列人的保护的天使也叫做以色列，
And the archangel that will protect Israel is by the name Israel as well. And the archangel's name is Israel.
Israel 什么意思呢?
What does this mean?
就是王子的意思。
It means the prince.
El 什么意思呢?
What does El mean?
就是 Elohim 的意思。
It's the word Elohim.
上帝的王子。
That is the prince of God.
The crown prince of God.
He is the crown prince.
所以这样的在众天使中间最高的一个神自己王子的君尊的天使就是以色列。
It means that the greatest archangel among all the angels is the angel Israel.
如果这个解释是对的话,
if this explanation is
right, 那么代界圣经是上帝按照以色列的数目来定万国的疆界，就可以说按照这天使长所带领的天使的数目来定万国的疆界。
Then surely you can have the verse imply that the boundaries of the world is set based on the angels.
那么所有的国度都因为天使去管辖他们。
And all the angel, nations will be ruled by angels.
那么以色列人呢, 就不是天使管的, 以色列人自己是上帝管的。
And the Israelites themselves are ruled by God.
这就比起他们领受了活泼的圣言, 领受了摩西的律法, 更有使他们骄傲的原因了。
And this is the reason why they are more arrogant than having received the
commandment of Moses.
This is the structure of arrogance in the Jewish culture. The Jewish people believe that they are people of God. And all other people will be ruled by angels.
这样也就不奇怪在但以书里面出现有天使管辖波斯，有管辖波斯的天使，有管辖其他地区的天使。
So in the book of Daniel, we see the mentioning of angels ruling after Persia and all other different regions.
但是呢，你看见呢，在这个希伯来书里面呢，在第二章的第五节第一句话就完全否定这个事情了。But
the fifth verse in the second chapter of Hebrew immediately deny all this.
我们所说将来的世界,
it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come.
上帝也没有交给天使管辖,
about which we are speaking.
那么这里到底是在讲什么呢?
What is this referring to?
这个将来的世界是指什么世界呢?
What is the world to come?
是不是指这个时代以后的另外一个时代的世界?
Does it refer to the world to come after our generation?
或者这个时代的世界以后的时代, 因为在这个时候还没有来, 所以就叫做将来的世界, 对不对?
It seems to refer to a world that is to come after us.
或者这个世界将来的世界是指末后的那一个时代呢?
Or is this world referring to the world after the coming of Christ?
可能两样都不是的。
Perhaps not even both.
很可能这里所讲的将来的世界, 第三个可能性就是呢, 当全世界的历史都结束以后, 进到永恒的时候那个世界。
This world can also be referred to the world to come after history has ended.
但是希伯来书的作者的看法同这三种看法又完全不一样。
But the author of Hebrew has a different opinion.
我们怎么知道这个事情呢?
How do we know this?
因为希伯来书的作者观念中的末世就是当耶稣到世界上来的时候开始。
The concept of the future for the author of Hebrews starts when Jesus Christ comes to the world.
我们怎么知道这个事情呢?
How do we know this?
就从他的序言里面我们看到这个事情。
We can see this from the preface.
因为圣经在希伯来书一开始就说呢, 上帝就在这末世, 借着他的儿子晓谕我们。
Because the first few verses tells us that in this generation, God through His Son spoke to us.
所以这里说这样的末世呢, 就是指耶稣到世界上来开始的这个时代。
The world to come will be therefore referred to the time when Jesus come again.
所以呢，这里所讲的话语
and the words written here,
希伯来普通的观念中间的思想完全不一样。
It's completely different from Jewish traditional thought.
所以你看第二章第五节，你会很奇怪，我们所说将来世界，这我们是谁？所说是说什么？将来世界是指什么世界？
Here you have the word we, and you won't know who this we is referring to. Or the world to come, what is it referring to?
当然，在希伯来希腊文里面，世界常常用 cosmos 这个字
，in the Hebrew concept, the word cosmos is
上面第一章所讲的世界，创造出世界，那个世界不是用 cosmos， 是用世代、时代的那个时间性的，不是地区性的这个名词。
In the first chapter, when we see the word world to come, we are, it's referring to a generation, not a geographical place.
我们所说的将来的世界。
When we talk about the world to come,
如果这个指这个末后的一段时间,
if it's just referring to a time that's to come,
这个末后的一段时间不是指世界末日的那个情形,
and it's not referring to the time of the last days,
乃是神在整个历史的过程中间一段后面的时间也怎么样彰显成全他旨意是这个意思的话,
If it refers to the generation and the time frame where God will manifest His coming in the last days.
这就是说，耶稣到世界上来的时候，这就是末世的世代的开始。
That means when Jesus comes again, it is the coming of the last days.
耶稣进入到世界上来，就是整个历史最后一段最宝贵的时间了。
When Jesus comes to the world again, it will be the most precious time in the entire history of man.
那么耶稣到世界上来做什么呢？
Why would Jesus come again?
耶稣进入到底要来管辖这个世界吗？
Will he come to rule over the world?
所以第二章的这一段完全就在讨论天使人，人比天使更低一点，基督是不是就代表那一个真正的人？
And here the second chapter will discuss about angels, men and Christ, and whether Christ is representative of the man. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come.
所以这里就和那个七十四一本的观念完全不一样了。This
is very different from the early Jewish concept.
七十四一本是不是根据当以理书有波斯的管辖天使，有巴比伦的管辖天使，从那个观念去归纳起来，再用以色列是天使长中间神的王子去把它改成用天使管辖世界呢？
Earlier we mentioned that the concept is that because of the world, the boundary of the world is set by the angels, the Jewish people have this concept. I believe there is possibility. But the author of Hebrews now want to answer the question from the general principle of the Bible. When God created the angels, He gave him great power.
天使是遵行上帝的命令，有大能的灵界的使者。
And angels are spiritual messengers that have great power from God to fulfill His commandments.
上帝给这些天使管下什么？圣经没有讲。
The Bible does not tell us what role these angels play.
他们与人之间的关系如何？圣经是说，在这个希伯来书提到，他是复一的灵。
The only time is in the book of Hebrews when the angels are referred to as ministering spirits.
但是当上帝造人的时候,
but when God created man,
就提到了管理的这件事情。
There is this matter of ruling and dominion.
这个事情在旧约最先的地方，创世纪里面已经提出来了。
We see this clearly in the book of Genesis.
后来在这个诗篇里面再重新提出来了。
And in the book of Psalm again we see the mentioning.
希伯来书的作者再提出来了。
The author of Hebrew again reminded us.
这个三次的出现,
it appeared three times in the Bible.
换念了全本圣经的人论的问题了。
And it gives us a consistent understanding about man.
这样的读经法是很重要的。
It is important to study the Bible this way.
当你注意到很重要的词句出现的时候,
when you see very important verses appearing,
你能追溯到它第一次出现在什么地方,
you must trace backwards to where it first appeared.
以后在其他的地方又抵触的出现,
and then how many times more does it appear?
那么每一次的出现都要表达的意义到底是什么?
And what is the meaning of each appearance?
你把这些再而三而四出现的这些经文
When you link all these verses that appear differently, you will be able to find the general principle. Let me give you a simple illustration. You say that the righteous will live because of faith. It seems to be very easy. But this is an important general principle that links the entire New Testament.
也就是一个人活在世界上能够被神所接受，不是因为他的行为，因为每一个人都犯了罪。
It means that a person is accepted by God not through his works, but because every one of us has sinned.
一个人被称为义，在神面前过义人的生活，是靠着信心。
A person is justified through his faith and not through his actions.
所以义人必因信得生，不是因行得生。
And the righteous person will live because of his faith, not through his actions.
这句话又不是说人是因信称义。
It doesn't mean that we have justification because of faith.
看来是义人是因信得生。
But righteous person live because of his faith.
你信得到生命，你才能有生活。
First you must have your life, then you have daily living.
你称义的时候已经领受生命。
When you are justified, you already receive the life. If not, how can you be a righteous man? And how can a righteous live? And And you say he lived because of faith. This does not appear in the first five books of the Bible. But there is this idea within the books. And this word actually appeared in the book of Habakkuk. And then it appeared again in the book of Romans. And then in the book of Hebrews. All other authors of the Bible does not say this.
And
this is the main expression of the entire book of Romans. The righteous will live by faith becomes a very important theme in the entire New Testament. And this is a doctrine about how sinners should live their life in front of God. But here the author of Hebrew tells us the doctrine of man and the original status of man. And these verses appear in three different places. And that is Genesis chapter 1. Psalms
8.
And Hebrews 2.
这里是研究人论最基本最重要的一个基础。
These are the most important foundation in the doctrine of man.
人是谁?
Who is man?
人的地位在哪里?
What is our status?
人与宇宙之间的关系是什么?
What is the relationship between man and the universe?
没有一个宗教有办法解清楚这个事情。
Not a single faith can answer this carefully.
因为所有的宗教的教主本身是一个不知道人是什么的人。
Because all religious leaders are men who do not understand what man is.
一方面做人，一方面找到人的困难。
On the one hand, they are human beings and they identify the problems of
man. 一方面在人的过程中间经历也揪到人的矛盾。
In the process of being human, they understood the conflict of man.
在这个自我捆绑的矛盾中间。 怎么能看到客观的人被造的目的是什么?
And because they are in the midst of all this conflict, they cannot have objective understanding of man.
所以对真理的了解，唯一的基础就是接受神的启示。
The only way we can understand the truth is to accept the revelation of God.
因为神本身就是真理。
Because God Himself is truth.
神又是乐意把自己启示给人，上帝。
And God is a God who is willing to reveal Himself to us.
真理愿意把真理启示给人，使被造而有理性的人可以明白真理对真理自己的启示。
The truth is willing to reveal the truth to us so that we who have been created with reason can understand the revelation of truth from the truth.
将人无论明白超自然的真理，自然的真理，或者人本身的真理，唯一的途径就是透过神给人的启示。
The only way man can understand supernatural truth, the truth itself, and the truth regarding himself, is to accept the revelation of God.
创世纪第一章怎么样？这个启示神造人原先的总原则是什么呢？
What is the general principle that the book of Genesis shows?
上帝说我们要按自己的形象样式造人。
God said that we want to make man in our image.
然后我们要派他管理天上的鸟、地上的兽、海里的鱼。
And we want to let him have dominion over birds in the air, the animals on the earth, too.
管理万有的权柄是赐给人的。
And the power of dominion of all, over all things is given to man.
人的地位是超过自然的。
So our status as man is higher than that of nature.
这就是人成为自然的主人的一个应许。
And this is a promise for us to be master of the nature.
这就是人在神与自然中间做中保的一个地位。
And this is a status as an intermediary between God and nature.
这就是人借着对自然的了解，有科学认知使命的可能。
And that is why it is possible for us to understand science and to understand the nature.
这样基督教从地面就保证了。 人可以认知神所造的宇宙。
In Christianity, from the very first book, we are affirmed to have a position to be able to understand the universe.
被造界的认知就叫做自然科学。
The understanding of the world is called natural science.
所以自然的管理使用权就是人的文化使命。
And our ability to control nature becomes our cultural mandate.
其实这几句话你都可以记下来。
And all these words can be recorded down.
你听了一下子就忘记了。
And then all else will just
forget it.
And these are words that are crystallized thought. May May the Lord help us to accept all these essence.
那么人被造超乎自然,
we are created above nature.
所以人应当征服自然,
so we ought to have dominion over nature.
我们应当管理自然,
we ought to rule over nature.
我们应当认知自然,
we ought to affirm nature.
我们应当研究自然,
and we need to research about nature.
在希伯来文化中间,
in the Hebrew culture,
人被造认知, 人是超越自然的, 所以他一面认知自然, 一面就归荣耀给上帝, 所以为被造界, 献上赞美。
Man is created by God to know and have dominion over nature, and so while he has dominion over nature, he gives glory to God.
当人管理自然的时候, 他是应用了君王的权柄。
When man rule over nature, he's using the power and position of the king.
当人认知自然, 研究自然, 观察自然, 解释自然的时候, 它是应用了先知性的功能。
And when men understand and research and know about nature, he's using the functions of a prophet.
当人借着自然界的事物来荣耀上帝的时候, 在用神的智慧来管理自然的时候, 它是应用了中保性的地位。
And